Hour 2, Triple Option with RBKD. We got Rod Babers.
We got Brad Kendler.
I'm Kevin Dunn. We are going all the way up until 7 o'clock. This is a good one. It is a Motown Thursday here on the Triple Option. This is The Horn. We're live. We're local. We are digital. Get the Horn app. Also get to hornfm.com. If you do that, you can check out all the great shows. Clearly this one. But there we got a lot on the station, including on the weekends. We've got a really good lineup, and one of the best on the weekends is going to join us now on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is one of our great friends, all three of us, and is just a brother, a family member, and he's doing great positive work right now, too. You can hear it if you hear Real Life, Real Talk with TC Speaks. That's Saturday from noon till 1. It is our man, Tyler Campbell. Tyler, how we doing, brother?
Man, listen, ain't nothing shaking but the limbs on the trees. Ain't nothing shaking but the limbs on the trees, man. Great show today, guys. Great show as always, man.
We appreciate it, Tyler. You're doing great work too, man. And we're going to get into that a little bit, but kind of catch us up with just life in general. But also, you're doing so many. You're speaking so much, and you're speaking to so many young people, and you're trying to spread a really positive, inspiring message. How's that going,
man? You know, I try to act like I know what I'm doing, but no, listen. I think a lot of people who tuned into the show, I speak from my heart, and you know, it's always more relevant. And Rod, you know this, man, especially when you get coaching. It's like when you are getting coached up, you feel like when you're getting coached up by somebody with some experience, somebody who's done what you're trying to do before, somebody who maybe has won some championships before or won, like you gravitate towards that message. And I think a lot of what is taking place on my show is people have hit the Google button. And they know, like, I walk it like I talk it, you know, and anything that I spit on the microphone, I try to, you know, let it be personal experience or something I've experienced with. And so, man, just been really blessed. And I like to thank everybody who listens in to The Horn, listens in to the show, all the shows for that matter on Saturday. We got a great lineup of shows on Saturday on The Horn. And it's really grown. I never would have thought I would have been speaking to UCLA University. And had a chance to speak to the students at UCLA University last week, man. So it's just been a blessing. And I thank all the listeners. I thank The Horn for allowing me to listen to that message. And for anybody else who falls in for the Real Life Real Talk Nation on Saturdays, man.
Yeah, man. That's why, I like tuning in, like to hear you talk, because I know TC Speaks gets into a lot of stuff and gets to the meat of it, no question about that. And a lot of excitement in this town, all right, and because of the Austin FC. Are you a soccer fan by any stretch of the imagination, or are you going to become a soccer fan over time with the Austin FC now in town?
So I want y'all to know I go deep, okay? I go deep. Everything's got a story, Rod. So rock with me. Stay with me, okay?
All right.
So when I was a kid growing up, you know, Dad was trying to push us into all sports but football. Right? Everything but football. And he showed us a picture that he had of a short guy, dark-skinned guy. And they had him and my dad were holding up pony shoes. KD, y'all know old school, like pony shoe company.
Yeah.
Right? I'm reaching somebody right now with pony
yeah,
shoes.
Yeah, this isn't who I think it is, is it?
I'm reaching somebody. And
oh,
so
no.
I'm like, Dad, who is that? He said, son, that's one of the greatest soccer players who ever lived. I said, who? That short little guy? He said, it's the man by the name of Pele.
Wow.
And so my dad's first introduction to the soccer game, in the late 70s, being a part of Pony Shoes through the 80s, he got to watch Pele because Pele was signed underneath Pony Shoes, mm-hmm. right? And so me and my brother, you know, we fell in love with basketball. We never got the soccer kick, but Dad was trying to push it because Pele told my dad, you put your kids in soccer for feet work, and feet work transfers into anything and everything that they want to do.
Yep.
Right? And so that was my first one. And then FIFA came out on Sega Genesis, y'all.
Yes, yeah.
And so by that time, I started learning. Of course, I played with Brazil. And I learned about Ronaldo, the other, not Cristiano Ronaldo, but there was another. And mm-hmm. from there, you learn about Ronaldinho. Mm-hmm. From there, you learn about Messi. I talked about Messi on my show 2 weeks ago. And all these guys, but I'm learning, as I was in college, you got to watch like soccer people and the soccer players, and they are in dynamic shape. I mean, guys and girls could run for days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always just admired the sport from a, from an athlete standpoint of nonstop running and the endurance that they show. And, man, I just love it. From Kaká to Papa. Like, I know my international stuff, y'all. Y'all better believe.
I love. It's so funny with any of like a lot of people, their knowledge or at least their passion and inspiration of soccer, BK, came from FIFA.
Yeah, you still playing FIFA these days, TC, or are those days behind you?
Listen, buddy, I got three kids. I ain't got no time to play no games. Hey, man, the only games I get to play are what my son plays on Nintendo Switch and Roblox. This thing called Roblox. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all ever heard of this. That's about all I get. But no, man, when I was in college in San Diego State, you know, FIFA was good. The Vuvuzelas were rolling out at that particular time for World Cup. So, hey, you definitely played the FIFA. Definitely played the FIFA, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking with Tyler Campbell, hear him every Saturday from noon to 1 on the Horn. Real life, real talk with TC Speaks. TC, I want to ask you a COVID question. I know we're all tired with COVID, but I want to ask you about your experiences because you're a guy, you can come up with a story about anything, right? You're a great storyteller, one of the best that I know. For you and your family over the last year, what's life been like and what stories and life lessons have you maybe learned from this pandemic that we've all gone through over the last 13 months?
I'm going to be honest, right? Real life and real talk. Me and my wife know how to quarantine. Had a baby born in January. So let me start off with that. We know how to quarantine. Baby born in January. So let me start off with that. But no, you know what? If I have to be honest, I think a lot of people will feel me. A lot of things that were that I thought were important, fellas, I learned that they weren't over the past year. I learned how much it was great for time to slow down and for me to be able to give my wife and my children the attention that they need. Now, don't get me wrong. I almost got thrown out the house a couple times by my wife. You know, you see each other, and it might have been too much. But I think for me, really slowing down and like, man, my son is 7 years old, my firstborn. It's like, man, you're really growing up. My little daughter, holding her up and telling us she's a future queen and that she's beautiful. And being able to just be in and around them and watch their development, right? And for my wife and I, to not forget the reason why I fell in love with her in the first place. Like, those are the things that got gifted back to me with quarantine. And don't get me wrong, I hurt like everybody else hurt. I lost a lot of gigs, but it also caused me to be creative. I think you guys can vibe with that as radio hosts as well. It's caused you guys to be more creative, caused you guys to dig in and change the way you deliver your messages, your researching. That's why I shouted out Rod last week, because I thought it was amazing when y'all were talking about the wide receiver run game, the way that Rod was able to be able to lay out some statistics and then bring it out all full circle as to how it applied to Texas and what could possibly be this season. I'm looking at it like, man, that's a dynamic word.
I appreciate that.
I feel like the creativity of people, we've all refined what we do to a greater extent, because we've had to work harder to reach people in a different magnitude than it was before. We're all doing a new thing, same thing, but we're just doing it a little bit different. And it's caused us to grow, be more creative. And we're finding out really and truly, you know, who's passionate about what they really set out to do for themselves. So a lot of people who said they love to do this and love to do that, but when quarantine came, they gave it up. They didn't want to learn a new thing. They didn't want to get on Zoom. They didn't want to get on StreamYard. And so their dream died. But now we're able to see, like, who's really true. You know what I'm saying? And the triple option, ladies and gentlemen, is true. Y'all have been it's been consistent, right? So for me, it's been about, yo, TC, how consistent can you be? Can you be consistent even through quarantine and pandemic?
Well said. Yeah, he's usually deep. You can get that same stuff. That's Tyler Campbell. All you got to do is listen to Real Life, Real Talk with TC Speaks. It's Saturday right here on the Horn, 12 to 1. Get to hornfm.com if you want to check out some of the other episodes. There have been some great ones. And I know you have a really good one planned for this Saturday, too, with a guy who we all know. I mean, if you're a Texas fan, you think about this guy, probably underrated because he
not
didn't.
Probably.
Yeah, definitely underrated. Didn't start. Maybe like some of the other guys did in terms of that length, but when he came in, he was really good, and that's Hodges Mitchell, who obviously was behind Ricky. You're going to talk with Hodges about a lot of stuff. I'm curious to hear the conversation, but I know one of the things you're going to get into as we're 2 days away from Austin FC getting started, was just how dominant and how good he was as a youth soccer player. Tyler, I remember hearing stories when he was here at Texas that he's the type of guy that probably could have at least challenged for the Olympic team. How good was he?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I saw Hodges. My son is running summer track for the Austin Striders, right? We talk about getting out of pandemic and starting to do stuff. So my son is running track, and I look over, and I see little big man walking up. And I'm like, man.
Big man.
Like, that looked like Hodges right there. And you got to remind me, listen, I'm an 80s baby, so I'm growing up watching Longhorn football.
Yep.
If you played under the Makovic era, like, I know you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know who you are. I watched you in the stand. I'm like, yo, that looked like Hodges Mitchell. And he was like, hey, he was like, Christian. I'm like, nah, you close, but me, my brother, and my dad, all same middle name, so I'll go with you there. And so I was like, man, I'm taller. And so one of the questions I always wanted to ask him, to your point, KD, was like, I always knew about the South Dallas legend about this young man, Hodges Mitchell, who was probably even better at the game of soccer than he was at football. In a time period of the early 90s when people ain't just rocking through South Dallas, you know, playing soccer, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like that. And we talked, and everything KD is true. And when he told me that at the age of 15, he was so good at soccer, this is before YouTube, this is before social media, this is before Freddie Adu comes and breaks things open for U.S. soccer, right? He cried with me. He said that Pelé wanted him to come to Brazil.
Wow.
And live with him in Brazil at the age of 15 and train and study all over him. You see how you bring the story all together to my
wow.
Oh, we started it with Pelé, with my dad, and this is how we end it. And that's the story that I always heard, KD.
And
just the little things like that. And then KD, for him to say, hey, Ricky Williams saved my life.
Yeah.
And I said, Hodges, what are you talking about? He said, Tyler, my mom wasn't ready. I said, I wasn't ready to tote the ball for all three downs at the University of Texas. So when Ricky came back for that extra year, it gave me more time mentally. And he's like, Tyler, just so you understand the type of teammate Ricky is, when I stepped foot on that campus, I was just competitive as anybody else. I said, Ricky, I'm going to get some of those carries. And he said, man, Hodges, come on with it. But at the same time, when they first got on campus, to show you the type of guy Ricky was, Hodges said, man, he didn't have any problem blocking for anybody, including myself. He said, that's the type of teammate that Ricky Williams was. And he said, I wish more people would talk about that on a national scale. You know, so we talk about real life, real talk. I know a lot of people know him for football. But just in terms of a young man who was presented with so much at an early age, and to know that, yes, he could have been on the Olympic team. And yes, he could have been that person to be a catalyst for a lot of minority kids to get involved with soccer at a very early. I mean, the guy was supposed to be that person. But because he didn't want to leave his family, he takes the safer route and goes to the University of Texas to play football. And so the dynamics, the feet work, you're talking about somebody who really and truly loves soccer, right? And has a message for a lot of parents out there who try to put their kids in just one sport. And he talks about how encouraging it can be, how much better it can be for a kid to be in as many sports as possible. You know, because we grew up in a different time. A lot of us played multiple sports all the time without question. Whereas now things are kind of centered. You play basketball. You do basketball all year. You play football. Do that all year. You do track. You do it all. And so our babies are missing out on those other things that can actually add to their athletic tangibles.
No doubt about it.
So there's just a lot of stuff, but I think he's one of the names that kind of gets lost in the shuffle when we talk about, you know, UT running backs. But his story is a little bit different because just as much as he was good at football, my God, the man was a teenage phenom well before his time in soccer.
You know what? It's also more than life tangibles or, you know, anything, things that can help you out in life and sports. But most of us aren't you and Tyler. We don't go play D1. So it is nice to play different sports because you end up learning all these team elements that are going to help you out at work and school, relationships, all that.
True. Very true, man. He's just a great story. And hey, guys, he was like, man, John Makovic could recruit any offensive player he wanted. It may not have been good on defense, but he could recruit any offensive player that he wanted. He could go get you. If you're on the West Coast, it didn't matter. John could go get you. You know, just stories like that. You know, those are the things. I know everybody knows for football, but I got to give you a different story and different perspective over the things that you don't know. Because Hodges is a real great man, great family, husband, son. But you better believe the young man has a itch for him still for the game of soccer, and often thinks about what that other role may have potentially looked like for him.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Man, that is awesome. Speaking with Tyler Campbell, if you like what you're hearing, be sure to tune into The Horn every Saturday from 12 to 1. Real Life, Real Talk with TC Speaks. TC, we got to ask you about your pops, man. We know the people always want to know how Earl's doing. So how's everything with Earl these days, man?
Listen, my dad is doing great. And if he could just keep the people from Texas Metal from calling him to try to trick him into buying another fixer-up 48 Cadillac. My dad doesn't do much. But he started to have this affinity for old school cars all of a sudden. And that's why the message last week when I was talking about it, I was talking about working on your frame as a human being. Man, I want everybody to know I use what's around me to create messages. And so my dad and the show Texas Metal, where they come on there and restore old cars, because my dad had a 49 Cadillac done, man, it came from actually trying to tell my dad, look, dude, you got to slow down with all these old school cars. you got to chill out. But no, he's happy. He's visited with Stark guys. He's excited. He thinks that, what was needed is to utilize the playmakers that you guys have on the roster and just literally put them in position to succeed. I was watching an interview from Nick Saban, I think about 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about the quarterback position for him at Alabama. And he was like, we try to take the weight off of the quarterback to not win football games. We just want him to get the ball to the other playmakers that are around him to let them do the work. And you guys have playmakers at UT, and we just got to let those horses shine. You got some horses in the stable. They just got to get an opportunity to shine.
Yep.
What does he think about the Secretariat horse that's been in the stable for the last year? Have you asked him about Bijan?
Hey, loves him. Says the guy is built stout. Likes the build of him. But, with technology, it helps when me and Christian can help him, get on YouTube for some of these incoming guys.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of knows what these highlight tapes look like. So we keep him well-versed. So he's liked him ever since coming in. And again, when you have something like that in the stable, you got to let it run, y'all.
Yeah.
Come on, Rod. I come from San Diego State, brother. We would give to have something like that in the stable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have dynamic talent, and you just want those kids to get what they signed up for, to come here to be able to utilize it and compete. And I think we know Sark is a gifted mind. I think that's what has Dad excited about UT ball, guys.
I'm so glad when your dad is excited. I'm so glad to talk to you, too. So it's Tyler Campbell. Don't forget, you got to check it out. Real Life, Real Talk with TC Speaks. That'll be Saturday right here on the Horn at noon. He's going to have Hodges Mitchell. I can't wait to listen to that. Tyler, you're always a pleasure, brother. We'll spread the good word and talk to you later.
Hey, love you guys. Keep up the great work. Thank you for being the sound of Austin and Rob Babers, the mouth of the South.
Let's go. Thanks, my man. Love you too,
brother. I love it.
My man, Tyler.
I've never had a bad conversation with him. Don't ask him about me, but this way.
Listen, I mean, I know, he tours a lot, and I'm glad he's back doing his public speaking, too, and touring all around. But, man, if you listen on Saturday, 12 to 1, I mean, you get kind of some free motivational nuggets.
Dude.
I mean, he just drops them to you. He just drops little bits of wisdom to you. It's good stuff. I mean, anytime I get a chance to catch TC Speaks, I do.
There ain't a drug in the world that'll get you going more than listening
no.
to Tyler Campbell
speak. It really is. Yeah.
I mean, it's shotgunning six Red Bulls, man. It's
or those
awesome.
The four locos.
You might die if you do that.
Okay.
So I would not advise doing that. Listen to TC instead.
Listen to TC instead. And if you missed any part of it, you can always go to hornfm.com and you can go to the podcast page there and go listen to all the old TC speaks because they're great too.
If you're out and about on Saturday, like a lot of us are, get the Horn app. You're not going to want to miss that. Good lineup on Saturday, and that is a great one.
I'm excited about the Hodges. Yeah, so I thought I knew a lot about it. That's why I like talking to him. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that even about Earl Campbell. I didn't know either. Earl. I think the pony connection with Pele, that is fantastic. And then Hodges Mitchell, why did he pass that up? Now I got to ask Hodges why he passed it up.
He said he played football. He mentioned family. He wanted to be closer to family.
Yeah, well, after you make those millions and millions of dollars.
That's true. But back then, if you're that good, then professionally, where are you playing?
You're going to play overseas or play, you know, in South America or something?
Yeah.
Close to his family, I guess.
No, but Brazilian chicks and good food in Europe.
We'll have to listen on Saturday. I'm fascinated to hear
his answer. No, I'm
going to
text Hodges. Why'd you pass up that, man? Stay with Pele. What are you doing?
Off-air interview.
Stay with Pele. What are you doing? It's Pele. That's like Michael Jordan asking you to come stay with him because you're that good of a basketball player. And you go, nah, I'm good. No.
I'm going to play baseball. Although Michael would like that.
Michael, he probably would like that too. I don't know. That's a great story, man. You get nuggets like that with TC Speaks, though.
I talked with Tyler, and he was like, man, he's like, is this good enough to actually? I was like, yeah, heck yeah, it is.
Yeah, we're in the soccer mood now.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I was like,
we're in the soccer mood right now.
This will be tethered to Austin FC.
I like that.
We're going to talk some more Texas stuff coming up later, including Texas football at 5. And at 5:45, we're going to get into some NBA nuggets. One of those little nuggets I want to expand on a little bit more in one and done. He could be on the Mount Rushmore of this program.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one and done time. Really happy for this guy who called it quits today. That's got to be nice to be over the hill in your industry and you retire and most people go, you're retiring at that age? And I'm sure he's going to go on to do other things. But LaMarcus Aldridge at 35 has called it quits. He was obviously with the Spurs, was given a free release where he could have gone anywhere, but he's made plenty enough money. And he did actually talk about experiencing an irregular heartbeat during his final appearance with Brooklyn. So he actually had been with Brooklyn. I forgot about that. But he just said, you know,
he's done.
35 years old.
Yeah.
Think about how long he was in the league. Ended up leaving after a sophomore year.
15 years.
And made a ton of money. And if you look at points and rebounds, the only guy who's had more points and rebounds in the league since he entered, LeBron James. So LaMarcus has done some great. Yeah, it's a real stat. If you go back
he's
to
been in the league so long,
well, no, but also because he's been really efficient and productive. I mean, he's put up.
That's still a good stat.
Well, I tried to take the positive spin as a Texas fan trying to appreciate LaMarcus.
I'm not a Spurs fan. Spurs fans are the ones that hate LaMarcus Aldridge right
they
now.
They do,
and for
they
some reason, they don't like him.
No, they were not happy
Even
with the way it turned out at all.
I looked on social media after the retirement; they're still taking shots at LaMarcus Aldridge. And Spurs fans are classy fans.
They are. I got a lot of Spurs fans, but I had
they don't
to
like LaMarcus
rethink that because they were
Kawhi,
not happy at all.
They hate Kawhi.
Kawhi, I get though.
He's their most hated. But then after that, for some reason, they hate LaMarcus Aldridge too.
They're not fans, but I'm a big fan of LaMarcus.
Me too.
And I'll get into some of the Texas stuff, what he did here. But BK, hell of a career. I mean, that's a real stat. Obviously, LeBron has more, but when you're playing at that level, that means you played for a long time and you're also putting up a lot of stuff.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, probably.
He should be. There is currently only one Hall of Fame eligible player who has 7 or more All-Star game appearances that is not in the Hall of Fame. I want to take a guess on who that is.
Okay, say that again.
Current?
One eligible player with 7 or more All-Star appearances that is not in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Wow. That is a great—oh, man.
That's going to be tough to get.
I'll give you guys $50 if you can get
Were Rod and I watching him?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
50 probably isn't enough. Larry Faust. Who was a stud for the Pistons in the 50s.
Okay.
No. Shot. Not the Detroit Pistons, gentlemen. The Fort Wayne Pistons.
Oh, and he's still eligible? Like, they don't end that like baseball?
I guess not.
Okay.
Well, he's not getting in. But my point is, most guys who make 7 All-Star teams...
They're in there.
get into the Hall of Fame.
In there like swimwear.
And when I say most, it's everybody except one who's in wear like swim there.
Larry Faust.
I got that wrong. But yeah, I mean, he's just a model of consistency. Didn't play the sexiest brand of basketball. I mean, he's a mid-range guy. Nobody cares about the mid-range
Larry or
game.
LaMarcus?
Probably both.
Probably both.
Definitely LaMarcus.
Definitely Larry, too,
probably
I can tell
both
you.
Both of them.
But the dude could get buckets, man. I mean, he was a 20-a-game night for, or 20-a-night player for seemingly all 15 years of his career.
Yeah, he was, you know, when he came to Texas at a time when, so Texas gets the Final Four in 2003, right? And it had been such a nice early run with Rick Barnes, but you still kind of questioned how legitimate or how much staying power the program had, right? How much of this was going to stick that all of a sudden we expect to get to the second weekend because we've changed neighborhoods. Well, how long are you going to be in that neighborhood? What industry are you in? And it was kind of that next run of the Daniel Gibson and LaMarcus Aldridge when they got those guys. You just realize, okay, this thing's not going anywhere. And then you get Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine. So the recruiting just got better and better. They did what we talk about a lot. You got to take advantage of, and Baylor basketball has been doing that and will definitely try and do it even more so now. Take advantage of what you've done recently, right? Recalibrate what the value is and go after it. Maybe even reach a little bit more than you used to, because I got news for you. TJ Ford, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Durant, DJ Augustine, they ain't coming to Texas when I was a kid. And I could see and feel the difference. And when we got LaMarcus from Seagoville, that was a gigantic get. I mean, we were losing it. One, back then, you thought you may get him for 2 years, which Texas did. And so that second year, because his first year, he looked like a deer. I mean, sprinting up and down the court, it was funny to watch him. Was really athletic, was really talented, and was also playing on some talented teams. But you could tell, oh my God, one more year, if he gets a little stronger, if he extends that jumper a little bit, which he did, because he had a little sky hook early on his freshman year, and he'd show you a little range. But just to show you the difference between that freshman year and that second year, he goes up from about 9 points to 15 points and all of a sudden was at 6'11", 240 and was starting to get bigger and stronger. And then as that season went on in 2005, beyond it, even for the year because of what he did after and what he did here in the 1 year.
So that's the question.
Running out of space then.
Yeah, I know.
That's the question.
I know.
You're running out of space.
My Mount Rushmore is 5, but it can't be with Texas basketball.
Top five?
No, top.
No, we'll go four.
We'll go four.
How many presidents has there been in American history? What are we on? 46 now.
46, I believe.
So is your Mount Rushmore 46 deep?
No, it's. I couldn't fill out the four.
Okay. it's a different discussion, and I want to get your thoughts because it's your segment. When you include post Texas accolades,
no doubt.
So KD, look. People forget how damn good KD was here, right? I mean, he was the Naismith Player of the Year his 1 year here. Yeah, Texas lost in the second round of the tournament, which was disappointing. They lost to a pretty good USC team with a couple of guys who are still playing alongside KD in the league, by the way. But, I mean, does that, just because LaMarcus played 2 years, does that maybe, if you're taking his pro accomplishments out of the equation, do you think that removes him from that Mount Rushmore discussion, or would he still be there?
He could still be there. It doesn't help. That's right. Where you'd get into a Travis Mays, you'd get into a Johnny Moore, you could get into more of a PJ Tucker even. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really want to say, okay, well, what did they do here? And for me, that is a huge part of the equation, a bigger part of the equation maybe than some people. But, Rod, you can't discount what guys like LaMarcus and KD did. And you also can't discount where the program is in this sport. So it's not football. It's not baseball. We needed some cool advertising. We needed some guys to help the program once they left. And the reality is that the more KDs and LaMarcus and TJs that you saw in the NBA, the more this place actually turned into, yeah, I can go there.
Yeah, it became more commonplace for big-time college basketball players to go to Texas.
Yep.
And before that rush of guys, I don't know if it was at all.
No, it wasn't. Like, growing up, it wasn't. It just wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't follow it as closely as you did, but it didn't seem that way to me. Yeah.
No, I mean, there was a complete separation of classes. If we went into their neighborhood, they called the cops.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
They thought you were cops.
You're right, exactly. No, we went into the, you know, figuratively speaking, we went into the Kansas UNC neighborhood. We weren't getting those guys, and yeah, we knew it. And it just wasn't happening.
Man, I love going back and looking at old recruiting rankings. So Aldridge, part of the 04 recruiting class, he was number 13 overall. He was a five-star. Some of the other cats that year, Dwight Howard, he was number one. Obviously went straight to the league.
Wow.
Sean Livingston.
Yeah.
Al
Duke. Jefferson. Rudy Gay. The great Sebastian Telfair in the mix. J.R. Smith.
Sebastian Telfair.
Big Baby Davis.
Big Baby.
Hate that guy.
Remember that dude.
Rajon Rondo. Boobie Gibson, obviously a part of that class for Texas. Man, I don't know. I enjoy doing stuff like that. I'm a loser.
No. I do, too. Speaking of being a loser and enjoying doing something you probably shouldn't do when you should be out talking to people.
Is this a live read you're about to do?
Yeah, it is. Let's talk Dr. Brent Brown. No, let's not. 2006-2007 team, which would have been his junior year. This, to me, there's a couple baseball teams that are there, even a couple football teams that are there. What would this team have looked like had LaMarcus Aldridge and Daniel Gibson stayed for their junior year? I'll tell you what it would have looked like. It would have looked like a national championship type team, the best team I've ever seen at Texas, yes, over 2003, and could have been a team that we are all still watching tapes of today.
Wow.
So here's what that team consisted of. Four NBA guys, Kevin Durant, DJ Augustine, Damian James, and Dexter Pittman. To go with A.J. Abrams, so you've got that type of a shooter who averaged 15 points that year. You've got good players around that. I mentioned J.D. Lewis, my guy earlier, but Connor Atchley, Justin Mason, who's a really good defender. What would that team have looked like with six NBA guys if you had LaMarcus Aldridge and Daniel Gibson to go with Kevin Durant, D.J. Augustine, Damian James, and Dexter
Pittman? You win it all.
Oh, man.
I mean, they would have been right up there.
You play for it all.
Yeah.
You win it all or you play for it all.
BK, you've rooted for some championship teams.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to watch Texas USC on Longhorn Network as much if that team existed.
Right.
Not that I don't enjoy watching Texas USC, but there'd be another national championship game to display on that network.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Man. Well, congrats to LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
Fantastic career. I hope he's a Hall of Famer. I think he deserves to be a Hall of Famer. We'll obviously see what happens.
You'd be the first Texas Hall of Famer? Johnny Moore's not a Hall of Famer, is he?
I don't think so.
I mean, I almost got in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Feel more confident about you not being in than Johnny Moore not being in. But it's close.
I haven't gotten the, I haven't checked. But.
Close. Well, on Wikipedia, we can update it.
That's true.
Put you in there.
We'll change it. But you think he's got a good chance?
I think he does have a good chance.
Okay.
It's going to be close. I mean, it's not a surefire first ballot guy, but I think he should.
Well, if he doesn't get in, we'll have one soon.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. There is One and Done with Kevin Dunn. When we return, we go off the record. A lot of good things have come out of Waco over the last few weeks. This story, not so good. And also, one of the biggest power couples in the world is calling it quits. What's next?
DD Mega Doo-Doo. I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the rain and comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. All right, the folks down in Waco, the Baylor Bears fans, they are celebrating still the national championship run by the men's basketball team. And
sorry, just BK. People saw on Twitch his reaction to that. That hadn't really hit you yet, has it?
Oh, sorry.
It'll always hurt, man.
No, it's not your fault, Rod. It happened.
Yeah, no, it's just like I get it though, because Longhorn fans are high off of the Chris Beard hire and all of the transfers coming in, all the momentum. But still,
we ain't that high.
Yeah, the reality is, Baylor.
No, they're Charlie Sheen
in your conference
high.
Just won the national title.
We hotboxed for like
exactly.
5 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. I get that. That's the reality. All right, but Baylor still celebrating their national title. They apparently are refusing to accept a vehicle, a Jeep Wrangler, that was driven in the team's championship parade through downtown Waco on Tuesday night. which was it was, you know, wrapped in, you know, Baylor, kind of the Baylor
painted and all that stuff.
So it's got the Baylor Baylor bear on there and everything, and it's got all of the Baylor mascot and all that kind of stuff on it. So it's, and it's official, by the way, too. I believe this is not someone just trying to have a knockoff Baylor Jeep. No, it's actually an official license provider, if you will.
It's customized too. Honk if you still believe in art. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there.
Yes, a customized Jeep Wrangler. So it was driven in the team championship parade. Looks like it was going to be a really nice Jeep. I don't know if they were going to sell it. Looks like they were going to give it to the school and allow the school to have the Jeep to either recruit, or, you know, they could drive around people in the Jeep.
Yeah.
Maybe the basketball team could use it for different things, whatever.
It was kind of a basketball department gift, but I think Scott Drew was going to be the guy who was
going to receive it?
Using it the most.
Okay.
But I think the dealer's intention was to have Scott Drew be the guy who uses this gift.
Okay. So it's got championship logo on it, all that kind of stuff. So
that would be pretty gaudy if a head coach is trotting around town with, like, hey, just in case you guys forgot, National champs, Baylor basketball.
I'm sure at Bay, they'd love it. He'd be honking at him as he rolled down the street.
That'd make the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile look like nothing.
Everybody would love that thing.
That thing would look subtle compared to that.
And also, apparently, Alan Samuels dealership in Waco and the GM of that dealership, Ted Teague, are the ones who were awarding this Jeep to Baylor and to Scott Drew. And they're the ones who wrapped it in all the championship logo and all that kind of stuff. They're really excited about it, to the point where it was on the news and everything. So KWTX-TV caught up with Ted Teague, the GM of Alan Samuels dealership. And I believe this is the audio that we have. And because of this audio, this is the reason that Baylor and Scott Drew have since refused to accept this vehicle because of the statements that were made by Ted Teague. Here's the audio.
So we rustled up this Jeep Wrangler. We lifted it up, wheels and tires, put a nice little wrap on it so Coach Scott can enjoy it and go use it to recruit, pull some people out of the hood.
Wow.
Recruit, pull some people out of the hood.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Well, I think that
guy... Is he wrong, guys?
Well, that guy, I think, is living in the hood. It's just a different hood. It's a white hood that guy might still be rocking.
Well, I've stopped in Waco.
Baylor Athletic Director Mac Rhodes, after that statement, said his remarks do not align with our institutional values or the culture of our athletic programs. We can confirm we are not accepting the Jeep driven in the parade on Tuesday. As a department, we are committed to recruiting a diverse group of student athletes, coaches, and staff, all of whom are valued members of our community.
Mm.
Yeah, the dealership also had provided women's coach Kim Mulkey a Corvette to use for a year after she won the national title. So they have a good relationship with the athletic department, or at least they did.
Then write it like that.
So I will say this to Ted Teague's credit.
We did get comment from the Corvette. It's scared crapless.
To Ted Teague's credit, gentlemen, he knew immediately that he had messed up, so he knew it was inappropriate, and he apologized. You know, within 24 hours, he apologized and basically, you know, said he was wrong.
Yeah,
and
released a statement.
Here's the statement. As the words came out of my mouth, I instantly knew it was the absolute wrong word. That sounds like Michael Scott. I believe that's exactly what it sounds like. As the words were coming out of my mouth, I knew it was wrong. He went on to say, I know that I disrespected a countless number of people within our amazing Waco community and beyond. I am deeply disappointed and saddened by my actions and offer each of you my most sincere apologies.
That's just too much of an apology. It's not that big of a deal.
But I don't think he meant it maliciously.
No,
I do think
I don't
it was
either.
Just you know, it was a brain fart. Which in the uber sensitive era that we live in, super woke, you knew it was gonna be some repercussions for him.
And if we were to play this out, a lot of basketball players, a majority are black, and a lot of basketball players, black or white, or baseball players come from different socioeconomic areas.
Yes.
So if you would have said hillbilly or a hayseed area for baseball players, it wouldn't have been good, but it may that you kind of actually see where they're coming from.
It wouldn't have got
gets back to your malicious
the negative connotations. As you know, we're dealing with kind of uber woke
society.
And he shouldn't
have said, there's no reason to say that.
No reason to say it. He should have been like, hey, he can go out there and recruit us some damn good kids or some or some really good players or some, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I know, from the hood. I know.
You can't say pull some people out the hood.
I know.
That's bad in any era.
That was bad.
Oh, man.
Especially this era.
Especially this era.
Like, that's stereotypical Waco. And look, it's hard. We as Texas fans can't criticize Baylor fans too much, considering some of the emails regarding the eyes of Texas that have come to light over the last few months. So I would love to rail on
every fan base,
Waco a bunch right now, and that guy deserves railing on. But, yeah, every fan base, including our own, unfortunately, has some guys like that.
I'll give him credit because when I heard it, I thought this guy's just going to double down and triple down. And that's when it's going to get really bad. Yeah. That's when you're going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. I was willing to, I thought it was stupid, but not make this a big part of my day.
Yeah.
But he did. And he's like, no, I shouldn't have said it. So,
yeah.
Waco question, gentlemen. So this guy runs a car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
Does the dealership improve sales or do sales decrease after this comment?
They improved for 24 hours, and then after the apology.
It depends on if he's canceled or not.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he won't be canceled.
Being canceled by the general public is different than being canceled in Waco. I feel like it's the opposite. You know? The stuff that gets you canceled in most pop culture places is the stuff that gets you promoted in Waco.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying, because what was the country singer, Morgan Wallen, or whatever his name?
Yes.
Right? He got caught saying the N-word or something.
And his sales skyrocketed,
and
right?
And people canceled him, and the sales skyrocketed as a result. So, it all depends on if you're canceled, and we all know that the cancel culture is somewhat of an overcorrection for past injustices that have been ignored. So we all get it, but we all, I think, also understand that it's getting a little out of control at times.
It is.
And then
some people that rail against canceling the most end up canceling because they're upset at cancel culture. It chases its tail pretty quickly.
This guy shouldn't be canceled. There's a difference between straight up racists and bigots and people who are just ignorant. People who are ignorant, they should be allowed to be forgiven, and should be allowed to learn and evolve, because we've all been ignorant or all are ignorant right now. If you're a racist or you're a bigot, let's disavow those a-holes and move on. But for people who just say something ignorant, let's forgive them like Christians are supposed to do. I'm Christian. Like we're supposed to do, and forgive them and move on.
Well said.
Recruit. Pull some people out of the hood.
That's going to be a drop. It's going to have to be. I'll forgive him, but legendary. It's going to be a drop.
No, it's going to be a drop. He didn't get away from that.
Yeah, no, that's just got to happen. That's the reality.
We're forgiving, but we're not forgetting.
That's what we do here on the Triple Option with RBKD. There is Off the Record. When we return, we drive up 35 back here to Austin, Texas, USA America, to talk some Texas football. We've got player audio, talking running backs, talking linebackers. Next.